A mother from Bedfordshire says she wants justice for her son, who she says was physically abused at a former mental health unit for adolescents in Hertfordshire. Hill End Adolescent Hospital near St Albans closed in 1995. The allegations date back to 1969, and Hertfordshire police have now opened an investigation into the claims. Sheila says her son was there in the early 80s because teachers had found his behaviour at school too disruptive.
I don't know whether his educational psychologist recommended it or the school, but he landed up at Hill End. First off, he started going every day by taxi, but I was going elsewhere because my mother had been found seriously ill. I was going elsewhere, and my youngest daughter, she was coming with me, and he didn't think that was fair. So he got in the taxi going to school, and he got out of the traffic lights and went home. So because of that, they then decided he would be residential, which meant he went on a Sunday night back to school and was picked up by his father Friday afternoon. So he was home the weekend and went back Sunday night.
And you say the first night that he went there, he was
abused. Sleep. Yes. I only found this out the other day, and it's heartbreaking. He was crying because he'd seen his mum and dad leave, and the nurse said to him, drink this. Within minutes, he was out for the count. So rather than putting an arm around her and saying it would be all right, she's doped him, and he's asleep. And he's been done two or three times more. He said, you have it. He said, the next thing, you're in bed, in the dormitory. So it's cruel. It's absolutely cruel.
They weren't sedating him because he'd done something that maybe could be a harm to himself.
What, crying for his mum and dad? I don't think so. I know there was an autistic girl there. And at this time, you've got to remember the 80s, they didn't take a lot of notice of autism. And that's what she had, but they were treating her mental problems, and they put her out. So that was the lack of knowledge of knowing about autism at the time.
Now, how do you know that they were putting her to sleep as well?
Because he told me. He said, you don't know half of it, Mum. I said, well, why didn't you tell me? And he couldn't answer that.
Police are now urging anyone with information to get in touch with them. Assistant Chief Constable Bill Jefferson says the investigation was launched after information from a number of sources encouraged them to go back over some historic records.
We've got a small team at the moment, about 11 dedicated to this. But as I say, it's difficult for me to predict the size and scale of what will come. And we will put more resource into that if we need to.
Anyone with information about Hill End Adolescent Hospital is urged to contact them through 101, the Hertfordshire Police website, or Crime Stoppers. Let's talk now to Tom Perry. He is the founder of the pressure group Mandate Now, which is calling for mandatory reporting of suspected child abuse in regulated settings. Thank you for joining us this morning, Tom. I have to ask, first of all, this was an NHS facility. How did these things stay so far under the radar for so long?
Well, one could also say, how did Jimmy Savile, who was operating in NHS facilities, stay under the radar for so long? It becomes a culture of normalisation. And this is quite, believe it or not, standard within institutional settings. Unfortunately, those with an unhealthy interest in the young or are predisposed to being extremely unpleasant to the young, they need three things to prosper: power, opportunity, and secrecy. And those three ingredients, the holy trinity for people who have an unhealthy interest in the young, is available in spades within these settings. So unfortunately, it becomes a culture of secrecy. No one is required by law to report anything. But the most important thing is that if there is a good member of staff who would like to report it, they have to be a whistleblower. And they have no legal protection. The likelihood is you'll whistleblow, and because you have whistleblown and gone rogue, you will be booted out of the organization, and you'll be booted out of employment on some other spurious ground. And that's the problem. This is all part of the problem. Mm. There's no one single magic bullet It's a compilation of things that need to be done in order to get these settings right.
I mean, you sadly have experience of this sort of investigation, but I mean, police are looking at allegations, you know, dating back 20-odd years plus. I mean, how difficult does that make things for the officers on this case?
Well, the case that I was involved in, which was Caldecott, and, you know, this is a well-known case that received a great deal of publicity. This went back to abuses stemming from the late 50s. So relatively speaking, this should be a little easier. All these cases are challenging, okay? Non-recent abuse is a very challenging matter to investigate. And it will take up considerable police time. I was amazed to hear the Assistant Chief Constable say that, you know, they've got 11 people on this at the moment. That is a... that's a significant commitment of resource.
Oh, is it? Is it? I was going to ask you that. Is that a high number of officers to have on this?
Well, I think that, you know, that shows a commitment, most certainly. And there may well be reasons for that. It could be, you know, it could be, and forgive me being so blunt, it could be potential claimant count. It could be that there's a great deal of backlog, reading backlog from records and the historic records that the police clearly have available to them. Which is great. That's a positive start. And then, of course, there's really sort of this flag-raising exercise to show that, yes, the police are now doing something. But often people who have been in abusive settings scatter to the winds. And they can quite frequently be found on the other side of the world. And that has recently happened with Caldy Island, which is about to... A great deal more, I think, is about to be heard about Caldy Island. That, believe it or not, came to public notice actually from a journalist in Australia. So you know, there's a significant challenge.
Yes,
Caldecott was over three continents.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, and it's you know, you're the founder of the pressure group mandate now. So this surely adds weight to your call for mandatory reporting.
It's absolutely vital. It's a vital component of a functioning child protection system in all these types of settings, including schools, including hospitals, including, you know, healthcare, faith settings, and so the list goes on. We're out of step with the rest of the world. And to give you some idea, mandatory reporting operates in 72% of Asia, 77% of Africa, 86% of Europe, and 90% of the Americas. But we're here, you know, sort of saying, oh, well, we've got it right. You've got it wrong. But the only people that have child abuse investigations are actually countries that operated discretionary reporting, which is what we have now.
Tom, I really appreciate you joining us this morning. Thank you very much indeed, sir. Thank you very much. That was Tom Perry there. Like I said, he's the founder of the Pressure Group Mandate Now, which is calling for mandatory reporting of suspected child abuse in regulated settings. And